Deputy Nationals leader Bridget McKenzie is resisting calls to resign over her handling of a $100 million community sports grant program. The Auditor General found the then Sports Minister's office had a parallel selection process where they overlooked projects approved on merit by Sports Australia in favour of those in marginal seats leading up to last year's federal election. Senator McKenzie says she has nothing to apologise for.
Really what we wanted to achieve as a government was to get more Australians participating in sport and getting active. And so those 2,000 applications received nearly totaled $400 million in projects. They were all assessed by Sport Australia and they were assessed as eligible for funding.
Yes, they were eligible, but were they the right clubs to be receiving funding? And the deputy, the Auditor General revealed that they were based on targeted electoral concerns. Deputy Nationals leader Bridget McKenzie speaking on the program yesterday. Zali Steggall is an independent MP for Warringah and she's a former Olympic skier as well. Zali Steggall, welcome back to Breakfast. Do you think Bridget McKenzie should resign?
Yeah, I must say I do. I just think the whole thing is quite disgusting. I think, you know, from the minister's comments yesterday that you were just replaying, I mean, it shows her complete lack of moral compass, I think. She's completely lost if she doesn't think she needs to acknowledge that there's something wrong with cheating kids and community sports clubs, and it is hard for them to get funding and they desperately need funding in favour of prioritising projects for her own personal gain or the gain of the coalition. I just think it's disgusting.
But she's not the sports minister anymore. She's the agriculture minister. So why is resigning from the ministry the right step at this point in time?
Well, I think, you know, you have to get back to where's your moral compass. And look, my question is actually to the PM because he's the team captain here. I mean, we saw the outcry with the cricketers and they took responsibility. They acknowledged where they had gone wrong and where their standards had slipped. When you're the standards of the members of your team, they're a direct reflection on the standards of you as a captain. And, you know, what you allow under your team is just quite concerning that is what they think is acceptable conduct. And there are good people on both sides of the aisle in politics and they are not at the forefront. And we just seem to have this focus on personal gain and the moral compass just seems to be lost. And the irony that this is for sport. And, you know, on our final days of our last sitting week at the end of 2019, we were debating and passing a bill in Parliament about a tribunal for standards and ethics in sport. You know, relating to drugs and gambling and any issues of corruption in sport. And I spoke on it in Parliament then, just the irony that we were talking about applying a standard to sports people that the clearly is not applied in amongst the coalition ranks at this time.
Some of the clubs who missed out on funding in this grants program are starting to speak out. One of them is the Coaldale Soccer Club south of Sydney, and the club says its pitch is in such bad condition that players are regularly getting injured and they're furious that they missed out. Here's what Lisa Miller, a volunteer there, had to say.
It's not acceptable. To me, that's a corrupt process. They can't tell you that there's this selection criteria and process in play that actually doesn't exist at all. It's a waste of the public servants' time. There were thousands of applications, is my understanding, over 2,000 applications. Assessing all of those for no end. I don't think that's acceptable. I think that it has to be a transparent process. It's taxpayers' money. We have an equal right, along with everybody else, to be assessed on our merits.
That's Lisa Miller from the Coaldale Soccer Club. What should the government do to repair this situation, given what we just heard there from Lisa?
Well, I think they're really, I mean, from the Auditor General's point of view, what hasn't come out is really that list of all the projects that were highly ranked in terms of regarded by Sport Australia as being, you know, needing the grants and, you know, really ticking all the boxes when it came to the merit of the applications. I think that needs to be looked at because clearly we have highly deserving projects and community groups or sports clubs who have missed out and they were clearly in dire need of those funds. I think at the end of the day, we really need a national National Integrity Commission. There needs to be some accountability. I mean, how low are you prepared to let the standard drop? I find it quite confounding sitting in Parliament when I see this kind of conduct, that surely we have to be the leaders. The Parliament is supposed to be setting the direction. We're setting the laws for the country. There has to be a standard of conduct.
Okay, so how do you think a National Integrity Commission should actually work in a situation like this where there's been no illegal activity?
Well, that's the whole point. Because there's no legal activity, there's no current body to, in fact, take measures. But what you need to look at is why were certain projects favoured in that? So it was a marginal seat to try and win favour. Was it because there had been any donations? Was it clubs? Was it because of influence? Who were the projects that did, in fact, get it? I think what National Integrity Commission will be able to look at is what were the influence and were public funds used for a corrupted, in essence, and used for the wrong purpose. We've had a number of issues that have come up, and we still have a front bench minister under investigation now of the Australian Federal Police in relation to fraudulently, Minister Taylor changing in relation to the letter to Clover Moore. I think we've just got a number of things that need to be properly independently investigated, and then should be accountability in terms of recommendations of whether someone must step down.
The other big sports story this week is the smoke haze in the lead up to the Australian Open, and the Australian Open's under a lot of pressure in how they're going to handle this after the player in the qualifying rounds collapsed on court in a coughing fit. Several days later, Craig Tiley has come out and actually spelled out their policy, saying that play would only stop if the PM2.5 concentration air quality measurement exceeded 200 micrograms per cubic meter of air. What do you make of the way Tennis Australia is handling this problem?
Look, I think they've probably been a little bit slow reacting to the situation in terms of from that athlete's point of view. It is extremely harmful. I mean, we are looking at it from an overall point of view, that air pollution is something we need to address because it's clearly deteriorating and impacted by our current crisis. I think all sporting codes are going to have to get very proactive about this. Sport is mostly played outdoors, which means you are prone to and exposed to the elements. And I think sporting codes are going to have to put in place proper measures to protect and safeguard the health of their participants and the athletes. We certainly don't know yet all the long-term impact and damage. It is the equivalent of smoking numerous packets of cigarettes and being exposed. So there are serious health consequences to this. And you might get a situation of international athletes simply not wanting to compete in Australia.
We've been having a very interesting debate on this program this week about new regulations from the International Olympic Committee, where they've banned athletes from making any political statement or protest on the podium or on the sports field or track. And former Socceroo Craig Foster has slammed the move. Let's hear what he had to say.
This is the Olympic Games continuing to try to suppress the, as you say, the freedom of athletes to speak publicly about social issues that are important to them. And in my view, when that comes to particularly to human rights, not only should they be free to do so, but actually they have an obligation on behalf of whether it's their countries, their constituency, the people they feel they represent, to express those views.
Craig Foster there. Zali Steggall, you're an Olympic medalist. You won bronze at the Nagano Games. What's your view? Should athletes be able to make a political statement on the podium, or do you think it's best left to a press conference or social media?
Yeah, look, I'm a bit torn on this. I tend to think, yes, you have a platform, and I think there is a duty and a responsibility to stand up for standards and moral and ethical issues, and I think athletes are in a position to do that. The IOC has a convoluted and twisted history with this. I mean, you have the Munich Games under the Germany and Hitler era. You have it's been a long and convoluted history of I think tension between the Olympic movement and political issues at a time. And it's always this is not new, I would say, that the IOC has always tried to sort of exist in a vacuum of political and social kind of issues. I don't know how realistic it is in this day and age. I don't think it was right back in 1936. I don't think it, and so I just don't think you can as an organisation can exist in a vacuum of the world events. So
yeah.
I think it's really an interesting situation but even, to put yourself in.
Yeah, but even you can't land on a clear position about the podium there. So it goes to show how tricky this issue is, Zali Steggall. We could keep debating that one, but we've got to move on. Thank you so much for your time on RN Breakfast.
Thanks a lot.
That's Zali Steggall, Independent MP for Warringah.